Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here today. I appreciate this being selected for a platform presentation. This work has been done by many from BioSense, from University of Pittsburgh, and several of the other people. John Sten is here, and Jerry Espino from Pittsburgh, and there's been lots of other people who have helped out in this very important, we believe is a very important project. And something we've been trying to do to unsilo the Poison Center data to make it useful to end users and to negate the need that everything has to be in the NPDS application, the National Poison Data System application. And if someone doesn't like how the application got built, they can take the data and build it how they like it. So it gets me out of the business of mine's bigger than yours. So it's really been something, and I want to talk about that today. There are 60 poison centers in the U.S. Up until about a month ago, there were 61 when the upper center closed from Michigan. They were planning to close, and we're down to 60 regional poison centers. As you can see, some states have no poison control centers, and some states have multiple centers. Texas, where everything's bigger, has got 6, and other states have to be no poison centers. I'm actually the medical director for the Denver Poison Center, the Rocky Mountain Poison Center, and we also cover 5 states, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, plus Hawaii. And all the poison centers take their information electronically. There are 4 different clients that the poison centers use, and the median time for case upload is every 14 minutes, so we're as real time as you can get. And although you probably don't always need real time, but every time you look at the data, it's always current. So we feel that that is a real plus. In the beginning, all of this data went to a computer system at the central office, the American Association of Poison Control Centers, and it was only accessible by people in the central office, by analysts there. In 2006, we launched this new system, the National Poison Data System, NPDS, which is supported by NCEH and the CDC, and we made the data available to the regional poison centers. But now we are working on to make the data available to external systems, our next step and next part of our vision. So we are working on a federated system. We think, obviously, as you all, many of you probably know, it's the modern approach, allowing local control of the data while providing access to authorized users. And it promotes the leveraging of existing structures and existing infrastructure. The system's also scalable. And it's a very standardized system for users to have a one-stop access to combine, to visualize, and to analyze the poison center data. What we're talking about is, by the way, poison centers take about 2.5 million exposure cases a year and 1.5 million information cases. So we have a lot of case data, and our data goes online back to the year, to the turn of the century, 2000. Though we have data back to 83. So what we did was to create the web service where external systems can make a request if they have proper security and proper vetting to receive data from NPDS. So web services, as you all know, are a standard way for heterogeneous systems to talk to each other via the internet, and remote systems can query the data on a need-to-know basis. We can do a security by state, by zip code, and all this gets worked out before people start accessing this data. And you don't need 2 repositories to maintain the data, and the data, of course, is always up to date. So using the web service, we built at the NPDS prime contractor, built the web service, and it uses a simple object access protocol and allows a users the initial web service. Stage one of the project was to allow users to access external systems to access a total call, a volume counts of cases, human exposure, a case numbers plus clinical effects. We track 100, we code 131 clinical effects, which would be signs plus symptoms. And the data, as I mentioned, can be provisioned to the user from the year from the year 2000 onward, and it permits dynamic analysis of the data with tools that are not readily available in NPDS, but are in the external systems. For instance, NPDS, though it's a reporting system, it's a surveillance system, and we map the anomalies from the surveillance system, we don't have the ability currently to map ad hoc, and we cannot make easily, say, time series from the data, which is an important epidemiological tool. But with the web service system that we'll talk about can create time series very, 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 very easily. And this negates us from having to duplicate the wheel. So the data can be displayed by the external system, add a lib, and it can be visualized by the external system like the external analyst is used to visualizing it. And all of this is under very strict security protocols that incorporate not only the American Association of Poison Control Centers, but the regional centers themselves. So we've made this a very robust security system. So there are two systems that access the web service for aggregate case counts, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention through BioSense's Quicksilver application, and the ROD system from the University of Pittsburgh. And both systems use an API interface, and there's been probably more than 20 to 25,000, say, calls by now that people have accessed this data. This is an example of one time series that was made. So it's very simple, from November 2007, October 2008, just of nausea for the entire U.S. Very simple to do this. And here was a cluster of cases of nausea from a specific state that was 15.9 times the standard deviation from the mean that was expected. So very simple but very powerful time series are, as you all know. The data can also be mapped by Quicksilver. This is an example of just a Quicksilver map for Illinois. You can then zoom down. These for cases of nausea. And of course, on the fly through the Quicksilver app, one can create the time series and do statistical analyses on the time series. All of these are functions that NPDS does not have. But now, through the external systems, through CDC BioSense, internally, BioSense can access this data, and plus RODS can access the data and do similar visualizations. And so anyone with a ROD system will be able to do this as well, with the requisite security that's attached to getting this data. So I look at it, you get the data, you kind of grab it, use it, then you throw it back. So it remains whole just in one place. We can also we did build into the system for this initial web service the ability that even I can make time series from the application, and we can map the calls that way, time series, and I can do it by clinical effects. And this is an example of a clinical effects of cases from January to March, just looking at cases that had cytopenia. Turns out that the clinical effect of cytopenia is pretty rare, but out of these, for this one period where we had four cases, two of the cases were associated with acetaminophen exposure, which is not a drug typically associated with a decreased white count, decreased red count. So, and I've been doing some more work on this, and I've seen this happen to be more often than I knew, and this was very serendipitous. So this is just an example of where we can generate a report from the time series, and I can see the case data. So we think it's a cost-effective approach. It also, for states with multiple poison centers, they are able to share the data without having to put in different communication systems and different software, hardware. It works out to be very, very easy. You have local security configuration and access the data, and the web service provides a single data feed. The data is always current, and it is available in real time for other surveillance systems. The data can be used by other systems, obviously, and because the software that was developed for it to visualize the data by the external system so far, they would be open source software, so other people can add to their visualizations and techniques and such. So right now, the data is aggregate only, but it is aggregate by zip code, by state. We don't get county, per se. You have to refigure the county. That's one of the exigencies of the current system. And right now, the data is currently limited to CDC and to RODS, if one has a RODS system, to BioSense can access the data, AAPCC, external systems, like Essence could get this data. There's currently, and it's actually coming to fruition, the entire state of Ohio is using a RODS system. They have 3 poison centers in Ohio, and the entire state now is grabbing data from the web service for analysis through their RODS system. The state of Wisconsin has their own external system, neither RODS, nor Quicksilver, nor Essence. They're going to be grabbing the data, and other states will be as well. So it's actually, the vision is coming to more concreteness than what we started with. So I'm excited you can tell about that. So we think that the web service allows for data sharing through the federated model. It remains that one source but can be accessed by the external partners. There's a possibility for data exchange across the pond to other countries and such, using GIPSI for the standardization of, say, grabbing the data is possible. We feel the web service supports a variety of the surveillance needs, and we are moving very, very rapidly to a full case extract, a web service, where external systems will be able to grab the entire case going into NPDS, and then they'll have tremendous flexibility for visualization and analyzing the data. So I want to thank you very much for your kind attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Any questions or comments?
Steve McDonald, Washington State Department of Health. If a state wants to be a user, like you were describing Ohio, for example, does the state health agency need to enter into a contractual relationship with AAPCC, and what is the fee structure for that?
The structure for the state of Washington is with the Washington Poison Center. And they would work out through whatever mechanism a data use agreement that may or may not have associated charges. That would be between the state and its regional poison center. There is no specific, since the poison centers own their own data, we're sort of like aggregators of the data. So it's up to that poison center. The nice thing about this is the poison center in the state, they can work it out. If the poison center says, you support me and I'm not going to charge you, that's fine. If the poison center says, I want $15 million and plus a brand new MyBach, then give them a MyBach and the $15 million and move on. But that's not my, you know, we've done this to make the data accessible through the web service.
Okay, so let's explore that just for a moment more. The The data then is available through NPDES AAPCC and not directly from that state's poison center, which has an advantage because in the event that a state's poison center is overwhelmed with calls, a call can be routed to another poison center, right? And therefore, that call would not be in that poison center's database. It would only be in the NPDES database. So there's an advantage of going through the NPDES if you're looking for all poison center calls that have come from my state's residents, because they might be in your Denver system, right? Not the Washington database.
This could be done to be right now we're center-centric. We could make it, we have some capability through the system now to make it to be geocentric, independent of the poison center that took the case, except we would never release, NPDES would not release the data, no matter who took the case, to the state of Washington, if it was Washington data, without the permission of the Washington Poison Center. That's, so the poison centers, we've designed this system to give the poison centers ultimate control over their own data. So if Washington Poison Center says, don't give the data to whoever, then we're not gonna do it. Everybody's gotta be in sync, but the relationship is between, in the case of the Washington Poison Center, the external system that wants Washington data only, and the Washington Poison Center.
I'll explore that with one more question, unless there are other people with questions.
We have plenty of time.
All right, so suppose 10% of Washington State resident calls to poison control due to overload get sent to other states. So 2% of them go to Denver, 2% of them go to state Y, 2% go to state X. Do each of those states need to give their permission for Washington State resident calls?
We've worked that out. That's really geocentric, and if they're Washington State cases, they come under Washington's.
Good.
I in Denver would not say, no, you can't have them.
Good.
You know, we wouldn't do that.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
No, I just wanted to follow up with my question. I was just wondering, is there a overflow strategy that...
Is there an overflow strategy that's monotonic, such you always know in an overflow situation it goes to state X?
Actually, that's a very good question. We do not have a phone system, though there is a national 800 number. The phone system doesn't automatically, say, flip calls over. That would be the next stage of that. We've never gotten that funded. But many poison centers have the agreements with another poison center that if they go down or there's an emergency and they are overwhelmed and don't have the requisite surge capacity, then the other center would pick up their calls or they can flip the call. But it's a manual process. It's not automatic. So like we have relationships with other poison centers and we can flip the switch, but we have to do it. There are 60 poison centers. There are four clients. Most of the clients collect a very similar data set. There are some differences. NPDES gets about 70% of the yielded data. And that's the way the system was originally designed. There's some history to that, which we won't go into here. But if anybody wants to talk about it, I can explain why it's that way. And we don't get the notes at NPDES. Poison centers take notes, although you can learn a lot without having the notes. You don't always need that a narrative. And there's been a lot of discussion over the years whether or not people would transmit the notes. And I used to think we should move in that direction, but the more I've thought about it, one of the things that is really clear is like in the movie Annie Hall, did you really mean that? Did you really mean to say that? And it's very important, I believe, to keep the regional poison center in the loop, just like with CDC keeps the state health department in the loop. CDC can't just jump in and say, we're taking over. They gotta be asked in, right? And so it's by the fact that we don't get the notes, and we don't get all the piece of the puzzle. If we detect an anomaly, or if an external user with a ROD system or an Essence system or whatever detects an anomaly, before they call citizens arrest, like Barney Fife, remember, you gotta talk to the regional poison center, because then the regional poison center doesn't get blindsided. And the regional poison center said, well, you know, we get a lot of cases of papilledema. Well, papilledema is one of our clinical effects. Papilledema is swelling of the retina, the optic nerve. But a lot of times, spies, the specialists in poison information, they used to call them poison information specialists, but the acronym wasn't as good. So Kathy Ruck out of Denver changed it to spy. They'll code papilledema for periorbital swelling. Somebody rubs their eye a lot, you know, and it gets all red. And you think, oh, God, I got a case of 20 cases of papilledema. Well, if you don't know that that happens, and happens more often than I like to say it happened, we don't all know about how hard it is to collect data on the fly, you want to talk to the regional poison center before you say you got a new poison out there that's causing people to get papilledema that's very, very rare. You got to get bopped in the head or have a terrible infection. So I think not getting the notes, and I used to be a believer we want everything, I believe that it plays now to our best interest, because it forces everybody in the middle of the night to talk. You got 5 cases of papilledema, we think it's an emergency, and this medical director of the center or the clinical director says, nah, I don't think so, we have a brand new spy and we got to do some more education. So that's how it works out. Now, it could be in time that we transmit more fields, but we have some tactical issues with the 4 clients. You got 4 separate vendors. So if I want, we had a problem worked on with CDC of a selenium poisoning, or exposures rather. We should talk in terms of exposures, not poisonings. But selenium exposure, and one of the things that chronic selenium can cause to be nail ridges. Well, in our 131 clinical effects, we ain't got nail ridges. And we don't have hair loss either. And it would be nice to have those coded, but it would be a burden, possibly, to introduce more clinical effects, because each vendor has to change it. Though we've built NPDS, I can put in clinical effects on the fly, plus therapies. We've built the database. I can just go in there and say we're going to have a nail ridges, but nobody can send me nail ridges. And when I say me, I'm using it's not really me, it's the system. I'm just one small cog in the whole thing. So I think that's where it'll go, but we need a support for all of this. And we've really only been in for the new era of NPDS. We launched it April 12, 2006. So it's a very, very young system. We're only in version 1.4, and nobody buys 1.0 software. So we got a long way to go, but there's many failed systems out there. The road is to be littered with failed real-time systems, and we are as real-time as it gets. And we did it compared to a lot of systems very, very inexpensively. So I think this is a way now we can have Essence, we can have ROD, we can have Quicksilver, we can have states. There are several states have their own proprietary systems. They can grab this data, they can visualize it. They don't like how NPDS did the visualizations. Fine. We had a call from a poison center the other day for a big deals coming to town, and they want real-time mapping. NPDS doesn't have real-time mapping. So talk to Jeremy, ROD can map it, boom, done. And everybody's happy. And it didn't cost me anything. And everybody's really happy. And it did not. And it's very economical. So it's a little bit of happy. So we believe it's the way to go. And to make this data more available, to unsilo it, it's a model that a lot of systems could use, not just, and you know, what we've done. And it took me a lot to get this through the board. Of the APC. It wasn't like, you know, they said, oh, they liked how I looked and they did it for me. And now people are starting to see the vision, because the other day I was bemoaning we don't have real-time on-the-fly mapping. And they said, what do you mean? We got the web service. They can map it. And so the vision, it's taken hold. So I feel like an evangelist right now. But it's working, and it has worked, and I appreciate your attention.
Any other questions? None at all. I'd like to thank all of our speakers.